Hey there, welcome to Street Fight Radio. We're glad you're back. Or you took a chance to tune in to this radio program that's taking over the nation. We're spreading this mess across the U.S. We have a message of egalitarianism that slices through all of the bullshit you see on TV. We're looking bright-eyed to the future with everyone else that sees mutual aid as our way out of this hellhole. And we're glad to do it every single week. You can see us live in Cleveland, June 4th. We're going to be at Mahal's. We're going to have a bowling tournament. It's going to be fucking dope. And it's going to be with some special guests. We just confirmed them. Rob Wiseman. You know him as at Rob Wiseman from Twitter.
Yeah.
UA Bollocks, a good pal, a great content creator from Twitter website, will also be joining us on stage. It's going to be a party, all y'all. For those of you that don't know who we are, my name is Brett Payne. My co-host here is Brian Quimby. We do this every single week, three times a week. We come from the Heartland, 614 area code, capital of Ohio, Columbus. That's where it's all going down. Simply, what we're here to do, tear down the United States government, recreate something that is beneficial to all of us, including all workers across the world, and more chilling, more partying, more free time, more time to play the violin, less time hustling to get by. We are simply here advocating for regular folks and for something that's a better deal for us that isn't, you know, all about making some rich kid even richer. So thank you for tuning in. Kick off your feet. Light up your kick your boots off your feet. Light up your bowls. Get out your little snorting spoons. You know, smoke whatever it is. Drink something, because we are here for all of y'all out in the streets that are resisting against what's going down governmentally and looking for some real freedom.
We are. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
I've heard that on an old record.
Nothing. It's
so good.
That's a sing. I sang on the show for once instead of in front of two fans at a... You know, I've never done karaoke, right? But when we do live shows a lot of time, if I have to check the mic before the show, I sing every time, and there's usually like one or two people in there watching a setup, and last time I just stood there and was like, I don't mind stealing bread. And it's really weird because I wouldn't do karaoke. I would never do karaoke. It's a terrifying thought for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually the pressure really isn't that high. I guess you don't drink, so you don't get drunk enough to do it. That's
right.
The difference.
It's like stand-up comedy. That's something I tell a lot of people that haven't done, like, on stage, like, stand-up performances, is they're like, oh, man, that's like my nightmare. And I'm like, everybody in that room wants you to succeed. You actually, they're not looking to, like, thumbs down you and have you eaten by a lion, you know? they're like, out there because they want to go to a fun show and laugh.
Yeah,
and
rooting, like, for you.
Yeah, you're not... Exactly. And like that's something I take comfort in that when I'm on stage. I really do. It's like, I'm, you know, I take so much comfort in it that I'm like 30% of their enjoyment out there is just because they're out of the house.
Yeah, but it's, you know? But with karaoke, no one is like, when you're smoking a cigarette afterwards, no one is going to be like, I mean, I think you had the register completely off in that version of Gimme Shelter.
Yeah, I should. We should karaoke sometime.
We should critique the shit out of people. No. We should, everybody that gets off the stage, tell them the worst part of their performance that they never do it again.
Man. Like,
that's not happening.
I
love it. I mean, me and my, yeah, I mean, I spent plenty of time doing karaoke. It's a great pastime.
Well, there used to be this weird bar in town where they had private karaoke rooms and a bowling alley and a couple of...
It's gone?
Yeah, it's a different thing now. It doesn't, I don't think it has the karaoke. And like, I always, private karaoke room seemed crazy to me too, though. Cause like the picture I have in my head is us and our friends, and then that's
yeah,
it.
You just
and
sing
then
I'm songs. Singing. You just yell Sublime.
Yeah, that's
out
true.
Loud. You're like super wasted and you're just screaming out a Silverchair song.
Okay, put put karaoke on the list of things TLC. I want to do.
Imagine hanging out with like 24 people in a small room and you're all singing Waterfalls together.
Yeah, I would want to pick like a really fun song.
No, but I don't think your idea of fun is going to be agreeable to everybody. What's a fun song?
Like Surrender, maybe, by Cheap Trick would be a fun song to sing. Oh, no,
that's the worst song.
Why?
Cheap Trick is one of the worst bands.
I didn't say that they were a good band. No. I said it's a fun song to listen to.
It's so long.
Can I do
boring.
A Monkees song?
Yeah,
I like Monkees.
The Monkees. Yeah,
I love
great.
The Monkees.
Yeah, I would love to sing the Monkees out loud with you.
That's what I identify with Tom Sharpling. One of the main things I identify with him with is when he talks about liking the Monkees. Because I'm just like, man, when I was a kid, I watched the Monkees TV show on MTV. And this makes me sound a lot older than I am. It was like, and it's like later run. But they had the Monkees TV show on MTV. And like, I fucking love that show, and I love every single one of their songs. Like, if you play me a Monkees song, and I'm gonna love it. I can guarantee it. I don't even know what that is about me.
Yeah, I mean, that was the weird kind of programming that they did to children back in the 70s and shit. Like, it's just different programming than what they do today.
Yeah, kids like The Office now. That's what kids... My daughter
Office
has...
Office memes?
My daughter has a friend that's absolutely obsessed with The Office, the TV show.
We're talking
show.
About a 12-year-old kid right now.
A 12-year-old girl that's just really into Dwight Schrute. And that was me, man. For me, it was the Monkees and Brady Bunch, which really makes me sound old, but I swear I'm not. Well, I am old. But, like, the kids that I talk, the people, when I first got on Twitter, a lot of people were super into Seinfeld. And I, like, couldn't figure out why everybody was, like, really, really into Seinfeld. And I was like, everybody's, like, 20 years younger than me. So they like the stuff that was popular when I was a younger person.
Yeah, it's still going strong.
It is. It is. Never go away, man. Dr. Buzzo was posting some really great articles this week. Brett's choking on... What are you choking on?
Chronic smoke.
Oh, please. No, you're vaping.
Yeah, it's on that Death Star.
It's okay.
Weed.
That's good weed. The Death Star, I get a nostalgic feeling for it because my first weed guy after I started smoking again, like I'd been years and I started smoking again, my first weed guy always had Death Star. And now when I smell it, I just recognize the smell. And I know that sounds like bullshit to people who don't smoke or aren't like totally into it, but I can tell the smells, man.
Yeah, I know some smells.
I know what Sour Diesel smells like because I've smoked weed that smells like Sour Diesel, well, that people called it, whatever that strand is. So getting back to what Dr. Buzzo did, he posted a story for me this week off of NBC News. And it is the headline for this story, How to Bond with Your Boss.
I love it. I mean, that's how you get by in this world, right?
It really is about knowing who you know, really. That's like not completely untrue. Knowing people.
It's really good advice. I mean, I guess that's the issue here. I think for me is, yeah. This is great advice. What does that mean, though?
Once you're there, though, what I'm saying is, like, once you, I guess if you're trying to move up in the company,
you have to. Oh, I know. I mean, like, there was. Shit. I mean, so there's jobs I've had, and there was kickball teams after work. There was basketball leagues that happened after work, and all of the people that attended those events are the ones that get paid more money in the end.
Right.
Like, if you are sweating it out at racquetball or fucking pickleball with the guy that signed your paychecks, he's going to like you more. You have to do it. Like, there's just, like, that is careers define so much of who we are. And Chapo did it. I mean, that Chapo interview they did recently perfectly explained that, the way that they define. And that's what Street Fight, a lot of Street Fight is about, is we have to point out, like, The only people that can act like us is if you choose reckless radio host as a career. Yeah. The only reason we can act this fucking wild is because we have chosen like no job shit. That's the only reason I have tattoos and mushrooms in my basement. Like, yeah. That's a part of it, because otherwise you are heavily judged for what you do. Like, where you hang out, where you drink, where, you know, what kind of things you do. In your credit score, how you conduct yourself, all of those things define how much shelter and food you get.
And it really takes me back. I'm just going through this in my mind, but it's interesting. When I worked at the cable company, right? One of the bosses, my boss at the time, actually, I was at my friend's house who also worked there. Okay. Me and this other guy, he got me the job there. Okay. And we're sitting over at his house, and I get a hit on my Nextel, and it's our supervisor. And they're like, hey, come to this bar. And I was like, I'm not really looking to do that. And they're like, no, come and let's hang out. I went and hung out at that bar, and like, my friend was very jealous because he'd been working there for a long time. And that offer
never
had
the invite.
But I did. And like, so I went, and they made me a lead. For like this period of time, when that boss still worked there, I became the lead. And then now that you say like the people that show up at those games, get raises, that makes sense, because after that, I kind of never went out with anybody from work. I just hands off. I wanted to I wanted to do drugs. And there's a weirdness about drugs. When it comes to hanging out with people at a job where they drug test you if you get hurt, or random drug tests. So, like, it was just really hard to figure out. But
Unfortunately, if you work at a place that drug tests, the management in some way has kind of a feeling about how someone that does drugs wouldn't be a good employee.
Yes.
Or someone that would be worth promoting.
Yeah, it's still a thing. I mean, I'll bet.
Dude, when I worked at the warehouse, there was this guy named Juice who was the coolest manager that there was. This was the guy. I mean, this was the guy you want to buddy up with. He made great Bloody Marys in the morning, and he was living like the full Abercrombie lifestyle. Like,
Juice is a fresh name.
Head to toe.
Too.
Juice.
Juice is a fresh, like, non-gender specific name.
I know. Everything,
it's cool for
everything
both.
Was going.
It's cool for a
everybody,
man.
Everybody
it's
wants cool. to be Juice.
Yeah,
everybody wants to be a Juice.
I'd love to be Juice.
Yeah, drop the Brett Payne shit. I'll just trade it all in for Juice.
Juice Payne. Not bad. Not bad at all.
But yeah, so that guy, I mean, he had basketball. He played basketball, and the guys that played basketball with him always got 5 stars on their reviews and ended up being leads and all those things. Like, it's just... It is, if you're going to devote your life to your career, I mean, this is what you have to swallow.
You need to go guy off with your boss.
Yeah, you gotta go
lady off
out.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to go on, yeah, you need to do whatever your boss is into.
Yeah, because when I got the call on the Nextel, they were just like, hey man, your boss is asking you to come out and drink with her. And I'm like, all right, I'll go. And like, everybody likes my wife. So, like, and I had her with me. So, like, it really worked for me. So, yeah. I mean, I don't want you to hang out with your boss if they're abusive. But
yeah, we didn't get a lot
of
abusive, the article. What's their advice?
Yeah, a lot of abusive bosses would never want to hang out with you, I would think. But, yeah.
Some bosses are abusive, though, because then they're like, yeah, I make all the money. No, you got to hang out with me. We're friends.
Yeah, so bonding with your boss isn't something most of us consider imperative to excelling at the office, but having a good relationship with your supervisor has the ability to positively impact the trajectory of your career.
Absolutely.
Well, it does. I'm with you now that because like I didn't get ahead when I was trying to get ahead on the merit of my work or anything like that. I started getting ahead when I became friends with people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I even see that as now. Like, even now in like our thing, like we just, a lot of people are rooting for us. You know what I mean? And like those Chapo guys have rooted for us and helped us out and gotten us in front of people. And then once you get in front of people, it's what you do. You know what I mean? It's if you can impress them. Because I can guarantee we don't impress everybody. But the people that stick around in the end are who we got. That really helped us. You know what I mean? Before that, we were pretty good. We were doing pretty well. But it went up higher then. And also live performance, I think. But, sure. But knowing them helped. You know what I mean? It just absolutely helped. And moving up into company,
I mean,
anytime I ever did, knowing people that helped me get up into company, just even knowing them was just like, he's nice. He's a good dude. If you're a person that goes in and does the thing, and this was my philosophy through the whole rest of the time I was at work. If you're okay in the spot that you're in, it's very okay to just be like, I don't give a shit, you know,
right.
I'm where I want to be. I'm not looking to move up in the company. I'm not looking to get a promotion. I'm not climbing. I'm a service. This was how I felt at the cable company. I'm a service tech. I like being a service tech. I don't want to be maintenance. I don't want to do that. I just want to be a service tech. I don't want to be a phone tech. I just want to service cable. And would, when it was time to get a promotion, just not even remind them about it, you know, because I was always getting raises, just not the promotion. I felt like it was worth it. So when I would leave, my philosophy was, this place doesn't exist if I'm not here. And that was when, I mean, like, I just, you know, I stayed in the same place. I didn't really talk to the bosses. We didn't hate each other. We didn't like each other. It was just kind of absence, you know? Which is a perfectly good position.
No, I agree. No, I've also at the same point where it's like, well, I see the people that are hanging out with Juice, they get all these promotions and stuff, but that means like more responsibility. It means you're deeper entrenched into the organization. And if all you're asking for me is to hit these numbers or at least 80% of the numbers and you won't fire me, I'm just going to do that. And I did. I mean, that's where I spent most of my employment, is like frustrating bosses that were like, you could really flourish within this company. And it's like, I just am not interested in that.
I wonder.
That's not where I want to be.
Do you think that I'd like to hear from any listeners that have an opinion on this, too, because I think do you think most people have a point in their mind that they want to get to and just fucking stay? You know what I mean? Because that's how I was. I had in my mind when I got the job, I was like, I want to get here.
Yeah, this is great. I love this. I can do this. Like you said, in a position where when you leave, you're done with it. Because that's the issue, too, is that I found just really watching my wife, who's a higher achiever than I am financially, like as the paycheck goes up, it is kind of like you don't necessarily get to ignore emails if they come in at 11 p.m.
Yeah,
like if you've seen the email, you should respond.
Yeah,
you know, you're not really ever off the clock.
Yeah,
in the way that, like, I know guys that installed installed like stereos and shit, and you just, and that's what honestly.
Most of those
Street
guys,
fight, I really sometimes, like, this is the worst part about living in the like gilded cage that I'm in, is that some days I am just like, I wish I could go to a place and just clock in and work for 6 hours and clock out and then have free time otherwise, because I am so my business is entrenched into my life to a certain degree where I feel like I never get away from it.
Yeah.
Always like business connections or emails or decisions or at replies happening, and I don't really get to like just clock out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy. It's a lot. I always say this. This doing this now comes more naturally to me because it's just what I like
Fire
to do,
off
and
smart
I love
ass
it.
Remark, right? Just and, say something silly on the fucking internet.
I love it, and I don't. But like, I didn't
separation. I mean,
I want to climb too, and like for this, I want more success. Like, I want more things to happen for us. I want a bunch of different sorts of projects. And like, I wasn't like that at any of my other jobs until this.
Sure.
There was any job I never – Didn't really understand that you had to be friends with the people you worked with. I just felt like that was, honestly felt like that's what losers did. Like, you don't hang out with a bunch of fucking people from work, man. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, that's like the only people that are on the same schedule as us. You know what I mean?
True. And all in the same bullshit, too. Yeah. Like, there are, it is nice to have a few people to complain about Sherry to.
True.
From like,
you need that.
Yeah, just to really be mad at Dale or Randy. Like, oh, fucking Randy.
Yeah,
he's
again.
He's chasing me down.
Again. He didn't have the paperwork again.
Oh, fucking. And then I asked for a day off, and he asks like, acts like I'm like destroying his life. You know, I have these days. I have these days, and I can use them. It's my prerogative. That was always my excuse for when they were trying to like, I don't know if we can get it. And I'd be like, these are my days. I get these. You don't tell me when, but that is true. They tell you when. That's one of the worst things about work.
Yeah. I feel disconnected from that at this point.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, it's just like,
I don't know how to be you. I don't know, like, I don't know how, like, how weird it would be for you to be in. You were in jobs in Dallas, though. You had jobs in Dallas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it hasn't
real,
been that long.
I didn't have a real job in D.C. Dallas was the last time I had a real job. But I do at some, I feel like it, I don't know, I don't want to belittle it or Mike Rowe it, but I would rather just be in it with other people, because I feel like I'm in a little bit like of a hamster cage now, where I just stay at the house and I have like my little stuffy thingies that make me happy. They're like my accessories kits from like the fucking toy store. And like, I have like extra time to spend on pointless things like video games or anime or some bullshit like that. And I mean, I have a really charmed life at this point, but it just doesn't feel, it feels wrong. It feels wrong to me that like I've worked my way to a point where entertainment is the career. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
I'm trying to square myself with that, because it just feels like, I don't know, like, I don't, I feel like I should never have to complain. I should never complain ever and ever, ever again, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm very not complain because of the, I used to climb poles
for
my job.
Yeah.
And like, I just, being up on a ladder, on a pole, fixing cable when it's like 12 degrees outside in the middle of fucking nowhere while the wind whips across the field is 100 times worse than doing anything that I have to do.
Sometimes when we do like 2.5 shows in a night or something.
Yeah. I'm a very like, I mean, I don't care that people complain like about that. It's just, I've had such shitty work in my life, and squaring myself with this as my job is like the best thing that ever happened to me.
Sure.
You know, because like, I still think that I'm going to work a real job. I don't think I'm going to die having not had another real job. I feel like that's, I feel like I'm fucking tied to the labor market forever. I'm never going to get out of there.
It is hard to believe.
No,
you haven't driven in a while, though.
No, not in a while. I'm saying that, like, even getting out of, like, it's still, the risk is in there that I'm going to have to drive sometimes, you know? I feel like I like working too. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of idle time, I think, sometimes with this too, where it's like, ah, man, I could go be, you know, bullshitting with my coworkers at some fucking place, like some part-time job with a bunch of idiots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's fun, but you know, I'm not doing it for sure.
Yeah, I really still feel like I'm on strike from labor for like all of this. I don't want to generate any sort of GDP for these assholes. But there is something, it just feels dishonest in a way for me. I guess I feel like there's a dishonesty to the way that I live, and that I'm not like doing something proper, like grueling, putting up with something like really bullshit. I work continuously. I have like three nebulous fucking, I have three nebulous fucking jobs, and they just never have a starting or end point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you're the stay-at-home dad person anyway, which is that's still a job. I promise you that's grueling a lot of times. I know it seems like you're like, it doesn't bother me that much,
no,
but
it's
like
grueling.
Not knowing the thing about being a stay-at-home dad is like you really spend a lot of time talking to a child. You know what I mean? Like more than most adults. And you're like, you're just completely have to be in their world all the time. It's fucking
crazy. They think you're an extra set of their hands.
Yes.
They think that you're just like, they can just tell you what to do. Like you're a fucking robot. And making food from scratch. Like you try to do the right thing and make healthy food. I mean, you're getting like 9 fucking plates dirty every goddamn day. Jeez.
I was actually watching a television show the other day, and they walked into the kitchen. Oh, this guy's wife dies in this TV show, and he's going back to the house for the first time. It's like this emotional scene, but there was a sink full of dishes, and both my wife and I were like, look at that fucking sink full of dishes over there. What's going on here?
Bachelor time already.
Can't look at a sink full of dishes without thinking those need to be done.
The dishwasher broke.
Yeah. We are really religious about our dishes in our house. You're not probably gonna walk in and find many in the sink at all.
I think you have to hit the point where you adopt in your life that you do not go to bed with dirty dishes in the
sink.
That's
true. That's a beautiful.
Because if you do that, you've lost. You start the next day at a loss, and like you're just going to be in a down mood because everything's stacked against you, which means a whole bunch of dirty plates is stacked against you.
Yeah, your house might stink. That it becomes a stinky house, and then like you'll care a lot less about.
Then all of a sudden you have to spend like 3 hours on the dishes. You have to run like a whole full load or like wash them. And
I don't have a dishwasher.
It's a marathon.
I don't have a dishwasher, buddy.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been living the non-dishwasher life for like 7 years.
Yeah, you can't leave them.
I wouldn't even know what it would be like
don't
to
leave
have
them.
One.
Don't do it.
I don't, man. Don't leave your dishes. Keep your house clean a little bit, man. That's like a little good. That's a good little parable for anarchy, right? It's like if you keep your house clean, you'll keep the world clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you, as a person who has been in a fucking lot of houses, most people keep their house clean. Pretty much everybody keeps their house clean. You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's junk lying around, and then there's, like, health crises.
Yeah, I've been in probably over 7 years going into people's houses for my job. I've really only been in a few health hazards, you know? I was in places that smelled like BO or whatever, but, like, you know, some people just don't. I mean, it doesn't affect them. It doesn't bother me at all.
No, your interior space is a manifestation of the mind. You have to keep that shit neat and tidy and together.
Well, just keep
that's it. How we beat. That's how we win. Like we have to be very. We have to be intentional, and we have to have our shit together.
We have to show
to win
people,
this war.
We have to show people that, like, hey, when the whole thing goes away. Or when the government's over, that people's still gonna have to keep the place clean.
Yeah,
because
we're all John Wayne's out here.
I'm a clean person. Like if I'm not gonna let trash pile up. You know, if somebody didn't pick up my trash for like a like if it was like, man, it's not looking like anybody's picking up the trash over maybe 5, let's say 2 weeks, right? And it's like nobody's picking up the trash. I really would be like, where can we take the trash?
Reach out.
Can we take the trash somewhere?
Yeah, reach out. Oh, there's a renegade trash group running out of Lewisburg, Ohio that'll take all of your refuse.
I mean,
and I drive the shit down the road to them.
And I'm not even saying that I'm not telling you that I would take on the garbage man job for the neighborhood. I would do it for myself, probably.
Yeah.
You know, I would just, because for me, I need the trash gone. If the trash man can't come anymore because the government's over, then I'll take mine wherever it needs to go. Tell me where I can take it.
Yeah, or I'll stuff it in the basement until I can figure it out.
No, I'll burn it. I'll burn trash. I don't care if it's plastic.
That's country style.
Yeah, I'm a country guy, man. I'm a country guy. So, yeah, I'd be good at that. So, other ways to pal up with your boss.
Yeah. I mean,
here's way number one.
Tell them how great their decisions are.
Right. The first one's be authentic and communicate. That's one of the things you got to do.
People don't like it when I'm authentic with them, especially boss types.
My favorite
authority types, I'll be picking.
So Nicole Caldwell says, my favorite employees are the ones that I can be real with. That's what makes an employee stand out. No bullshit, no excuses, and no tiptoeing around each other. I'm like, I dig that. I like that. I like people like that, too. I don't like the...
Yeah.
One of the things I hated about work was that, like, everybody's playing an internal house of cards in their head.
Right.
And if we would just stop doing that, it would take away so many problems in the workplace. That is what the actual goal of this is, to create solidarity by getting rid of the way that people think office politics works. If you could like erase that from their brains, then they would unionize, or they would do collective action with each other, you know?
Yeah, that's like the goal.
Because we all think the next person's out to get us.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're programmed to think.
I think
that
when a boss is going to get real, though, it's just like, you know what? When I call you a fucking piece of shit, I don't mean it. It's just because we got to get the job done. I'm in the business of sending out magnets. That's why I said you were a fucking scumbag.
Every job I've had where the boss told me they were going to get real,
right,
they badmouth somebody else.
Right. Let me
That's
get real.
What it means.
I wouldn't piss on their fucking flaming body.
Can I be real with you for just a second? No, you're doing fine. But Jeremy is fucking everything up.
Yeah.
And you just, because when they're real, a lot of times.
I would take a knife to Jeremy's throat.
They would.
If I'm being real.
Jeremy's not passing QA tests. Like it's going out of style.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Fucking
God damn
Jeremy.
It, Jeremy.
Jeremy, what are you doing?
Jeremy sent us the link.
I've known
the anvils.
So
yeah.
Many Jeremys in my life. I've known so many Jeremys and so many Ryans.
My favorite
Just
Jeremy.
Hundreds of Jeremys and Ryans in my life.
My favorite Jeremy broke into my house and stole my Super Nintendo.
What? No, that ruins the name of Jeremy.
We became friends though afterwards.
Okay.
Like
you reconciled.
Yeah, it was
that's
like,
the power of a
wish
Jeremy.
You didn't steal my Nintendo, man, but we can hang out still.
Yeah, that's the power of a Jeremy.
That's really my parents' Nintendo. I didn't pay for it. So there you want to be authentic with your boss.
I knew a cool goth guy named Jeremy that wore this black T-shirt that had a whole bunch of holes cut in it, and he said it was his holy shirt.
Yeah. This person says this here, if you've gotten too many assignments from various managers or had a major holdup because of another department and you don't tell us about them, then we don't know them. But like every job I've had, the goal of each team in the thing is to blame the other departments for what the... Yeah. Well, I can't goddamn do it if returns doesn't get to me, but they get stopped with a QA in the middle, and then I got to go over to there to payables. And it's like, you're supposed to hate all the other teams, too. Imagine if all those teams got together and formed one big team.
So this
and
is,
then cut got rid of the board of directors.
This is buddying up with your boss. So this is after hours. You're not getting paid for this. This is like, hey, sometime in your free time, why don't you go and talk to your boss about some of these procedures at work?
Telling your boss that you're getting too much work is almost always a mistake.
Yeah, that was trouble. No, that's a hard thing to deal with. Really, it is. To say, the self-awareness, it really is respectable to have that level of self-awareness, but it also immediately puts a target on you.
Excuse me, I'm in over my head here.
They're like, okay, so during the interview when we asked you what your weakness was, and you said you cared too much, and that was your weakness. We believed you, and we thought you were going to keep lying to us like that. We thought you were going to keep lying and say all of your weaknesses. You have a real weakness.
Yeah, your weakness is kindness.
Yeah, it's tough. Your life is just catered to them. And that if you were, even people that do have issues with mental illness or breakdowns, those kind of things just never work into a job thing. Like I've been around people that get like illnesses. Someone had fibromyalgia and like they had, you know, this pain, and then they were just like, ugh, she can't come in because she's in pain today.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, she's been like tied up in the hospital and shit. And it's like, you're treating her like she is a barnacle.
Like,
right?
She's lying.
Right.
Like, they always say that when you're sick or you're hurt or you've been sick. Like if you were sick and then sick 2 weeks later, they'd be like, oh, geez,
that's
what
convenient.
Are you, dying?
That's
Jesus.
Convenient. and also, I mean, when they won't hire young women because they don't want them to get pregnant.
Yep. Yeah, or they like, won't hire a pregnant woman either, which,
right.
I mean, yeah, no, that's still not fair.
We wouldn't hire, man, I worked at a place, females that were doing the interviews, they were just like, we don't want young girls in here. They always get pregnant. They always end up getting pregnant. And we
Jesus.
Don't know. Yeah, it's like, Christ almighty. I mean, that's the cutthroat world that we're in, man. I mean, this is also the reality of what it takes to get ahead.
Yeah, the next thing is we've been talking about is take advantage of opportunities to socialize, which that's true. We've said this before, but there's a rule of thumb here. Keep conversations light.
Okay, no politics. Don't talk about Street Fight Radio.
Don't go fishing for insider company information. That's the worst. That is when you're somewhere and you hear somebody
someone
there.
Lights up a cigar. Let me hand you a cigar.
Yeah, and then they start to, oh my God, we're all sitting at a bar, we're all sitting at happy hour, and somebody's just like, so what the hell's going on with Greg Piper, man?
I mean, it does, I mean, it rules people's lives.
Yes.
It was this is the reason we left DC, more than anything, was that the intensity that you had to ratchet up to like make it your career to get enough money to get by was just not worth it. It's all, you know, handshakes and back slaps and like drinking tequila rose with somebody at 3 a.m. That's like what closes deals and shit, you know?
Yeah.
That's what gets people fucking the promotion.
Yeah. Don't overshare. I've also seen this happen before.
I have. I agree.
You know what?
Sometimes people don't know.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So what does it say? What's the
Along
advice?
With not prying too much into your boss's personal life comes not sharing, oversharing tidbits about your own. It's great to feel like you're getting closer to your boss, but be careful about getting too friendly. Oh, God. I would never do this. The opposite of anything I would ever do.
I want to tell somebody else's story, but I have a friend. When he was young, he was working at a doctor's office, and he got drunk when he was like 21 with the team. And he was telling the doctor that someday that he would get him like a national spotlight after he became like a published prestigious doctor.
Man, no, don't.
Like, don't I, that's I mean, what, I'm going to make sure people hear about you like once I'm super famous for doing what you do.
That's why smoking weed. That's why that's why I don't drink. That's why I'm glad weed is becoming more socially acceptable now, because like that's only something you say when you're drunk.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Yeah, that's too many.
If you find out your boss gets stoned, that's actually a real relief off of your back, you know? Don't overshare though, man. That's the thing. Nobody would be that crazy to overshare something like that though. But focus on work first. So don't be like, hey, let's BS together while the work needs to get done. Don't come and hang out at his office when everybody's busy.
Don't just lean. Put your thumbs in your belt loops.
Yeah.
Just kind of hit your hip up on the desk.
honestly, when I became a lead, I just let way off the gas.
Yeah.
As soon as that happened.
I'm monitoring.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, so, like, I really was like, you want to go party again to the boss and stuff? But it was just like, no, we're going to demote you. You're going to have to be demoted.
You're abusing this power. You're supposed to double down and work harder because you believe in it more.
Here's something written by a boss. Think, how can I support my boss?
Okay.
This makes your boss like a... I don't want my boss at work to be a central figure in my life.
No, I don't think them. I don't consider them the boss of my life. I don't think they're my dad or anything.
I don't want to, like, when I write down people I have connections to, it's like, well, there's my wife, there's my daughter, there's Brett, there's all my great, beautiful friends, and then there's my boss.
My boss.
I don't want him on
that. He whips me into shape. He top really 30. Knows how to get me how to work hard, real hard.
Makes me feel bad about myself just all the time.
Bases me in a way that gets the best out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. They want you to earn their trust.
I don't know. I've been to a lot of places where the boss is really, he is the tribe leader. I mean, he's the chief.
Yeah. I never have.
Everybody else just falls in line and goes to his picnics on the weekends or, you know, barbecues, whatever it is. And
what a pathetic thing that your boss is like making you play games to cozy. This makes it sound like bosses are like trying to cozy up to me, you know?
Yeah.
How can you make my life better?
Yeah.
You know, you mean to tell me I can get a job, right? And if I get a management position, I'll have like 8 to 10 people who are constantly trying to impress me and support me.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like the worst.
I know you'll never be lonely at any football party you throw. Someone's going to show up with chips and dip just because they want to get 5 stars on their review.
Yeah. I'll come over and watch the Buckeye game with you.
I'll bring extra sour cream. I know how much you love it, man.
I'll bring the cowboy caviar.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the perks of being the boss, man, right? I mean, that's why we worship the boss. That's why in this world we constantly worship the boss.
Yeah, it's gross. That's why Donald Trump is the ruler. Like, we elected a boss.
He's the boss.
Like, the boss at work. Like, the worst boss. But the people that voted for him are people that love a boss.
Yeah.
I don't think they would ever tell you. Like, I don't... No, like, they're not like us.
No, they hate... I mean, yeah, they hate us.
Yeah. They're not like us. They like their boss because...
They give him work.
And they have to.
Yeah, like you just have to stop working.
You have to be your boss. Like, you like your boss because you have to, and if you don't, it's sad. But there are a lot of people that hate their boss too, you know. It says stop kissing butt, which is that's probably good.
Not true though.
Yeah, it's definitely not true.
Get your tongue in there, man. They love it.
At the cable company, this dude, when he was in training, he went to another dude's house and played. The guy was like, well, we don't have a lot of work to do today, so we're just going to go back to my house and we're going to play some video games. And they took like a 3-hour lunch.
Fun.
And
I mean, oh my God, imagine that being your interview. Your first day on the job. You're like, yeah. This is dope.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. So, I used to do that a lot with writers. Like, we can go over to my house and like hang out, play video games, watch something, or go to a coffee shop or something like that and do something. And they, he fucking went and told. He was like, yeah, he was supposed to be training me, but he was supposed to be training me, but he went to his house and played video games. And when I left, that dude was a supervisor. He started like 5 years after me, and he was already a supervisor.
That sounds like somebody you hit with like a sock full of oranges.
That sounds like the King House of Cards guy at the cable company. Like, he was like, I'll step on you to get ahead anytime. Yeah.
I play cutthroat. I go all in every time.
Yeah, that's it. It wasn't great. But he moved up so fast in the company. So don't tell me they don't like getting their asses kissed.
He's a shark.
Yeah, that is definitely. Don't forget that your boss is human. Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, they have terrible taste in vehicles.
So, no bosses.
Chrysler Sebrings. They always get wrapped up in a Chrysler Sebring lease.
Yeah. No gods, no bosses is what we're saying on this show, right?
Yeah, not. I mean, you want. I think that it's important to have someone that's leading the work. They're doing the work. They're kind of an expert. But whenever you have these sideline folks, man, it's like, fuck off. They don't know shit. They're awful.
Yeah.
People that just sit, tell everybody else what to do. And
yeah. Like the advisors, like, yeah. Hey, I'm a professional boss.
I'm managing you. I'm managing you. I mean, and bossing really comes down to, I mean, it is really a matter of like being mean, being bullies, like pressuring people into, you know, doing something.
Yeah.
I'm going to write you up. I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to fire you.
Yeah. So Matt sent us, Matt Ramone sent us a story right before we recorded that I thought we would take a look at before we get done here.
Oh, it's a good one.
A cop was fired after acting out a scene from Training Day.
Yeah. That was a troublesome movie.
Yeah.
This is like Punisher.
They love
again.
That movie. I know. They're like, I wish I was the Denzel cop.
I'm going to be him.
He was acting it out, too.
He was acting like the real cop. I mean, that's what it's like really being a cop. That's what we all want to do.
Yeah, they're Punisher.
That's
why they do
the
Punisher.
They want to be Frank Castle.
Yeah. He pulled out his gun and his taser and did a scene from the movie, just like playing around, and it caught him on his dash cam. And they were like, you can't do that.
Yeah,
you can't play Training Day.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a serious thing. Like we sell the public on security being like a serious thing. You can't just take weapons and play with them like this.
Yeah, yeah. It said, so here's what happened. According to the report obtained by WESH, it was not the first time Zipes had pulled out his firearm in a joking manner while on duty. The report said he had also pretended to grab his gun while talking to a pizza delivery driver and joking that he was a legend cop killer, Markeith Lloyd.
Holy shit. Yeah, fun guy. Really fun guy.
Holy shit. That is crazy.
He plays too much.
Yeah. Yeah, and he says he's just playing around. He's just trying to lighten the mood.
Yeah, I'm just goofing. I'm just goofing around.
Playing with a gun.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like cops. Nobody likes you. You need to understand that, like, everybody is uncomfortable around you. And people are a lot more uncomfortable when you have your gun out. Like, I'm uncomfortable because they could give me a speeding ticket, Brett. Like, when I drive by them and I'm going 5 or 6 miles over the speed limit, I'm like, they could fucking give me a ticket now. That's what makes me uncomfortable around them. If they had a gun in their fucking hands, I'd be completely uncomfortable.
Yeah,
that would
like
be
that.
Terrible.
No, I don't like when people play like that.
No. So, yeah, fuck this cop. I'm glad he's...
he thought I was going to shoot you in the head.
Yeah.
I was just joking.
Yeah. So let's hope he was fired. So he's done. He probably got a
good
pension, though.
Thank you.
Cops get pensions, though.
They should all be fired quickly. I mean, I feel... Zachary Rosen, I think, is the guy that kicked the dude in the head in Columbus. He got fired as well.
Finally.
The
Jeez.
One... He was what is involved with the murder of Henry Green, and he also got caught on camera kicking a dude in handcuffs in the head, and he is gone.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's the least that I think we should expect, is that, like, if you cause problems like this, just, you're done.
Yeah.
Just figure something else. Go do something else.
Yeah. Go be a fireman.
Pound sand.
But they don't want to be a fireman because that's saving people's lives. They're like, no, I still want to boss people out. You can't boss fire around.
I want to push people around.
Yeah. One last story for today. We love conservative outrage. I think that's one of my, that's a theme throughout this show for a very long time.
Hot button issue.
Yeah. Forever 21 came, they angered veterans and may have broken the law with these t-shirts. And so they made these army t-shirts that were cut up.
It's
from
a heather gray t-shirt, like a scoop neck heather gray t-shirt that just says army on the front.
Yeah. So Forever 20, this site I'm on is called Revelist. I think it might be a conservative page. And I'm going to go ahead and read what they have here. It says, no one but military should even be wearing this uniform. You guys didn't
uniform?
Put it.
Sorry, go ahead. Keep going.
Actually, let's start with the headline first. Forever 21 angered veterans and may have broken the law with these t-shirts. Not okay. It says not okay underneath. So,
this is ridiculous.
This is
unacceptable. Unacceptable.
I can't believe you would wear a shirt that says Army on it, and you're not in the Army.
There's the veterans now that are walking around, and they see somebody at a Whole Foods picking up mollusks, and they have a shirt that says Army on it, and they're just completely disgusted by it.
Is this Valor?
I think it is.
Let's get
some. You didn't really sweat for that.
Check it out, guys. Forever 21 is selling Valor.
They have Valor on sale for cheap. It's like $5.98 probably.
Yeah, actually they're not. I think they got rid of it. But here's the first little part. This is written in bold. Like bold, big,
yeah, all fucking caps, letters. Basically.
They are so mad that somebody would make a shirt that says Army on it. No one but the military should even be wearing this uniform. You guys didn't put in the work or be in the Army and do what we do on a daily basis.
It's not camouflage. It's a gray t-shirt. And you people love to spread your message emblems and
I have to watch valor. Your commercials before a movie.
Yeah. Why this is people repping the team. This is folks repping the team. Anybody that wears an Army shirt is supporting your thing. They are doing it in a way that takes away. Like this,
it's not irony. They're not like going out there like this is my. I mean, most of it probably is a little bit.
What do they do? Is this like they wear this during basic training? I don't know what kind of uniform a t-shirt that says Army is.
It's what they wear in basic training. It's probably the standard issue t-shirt, right?
Barack Obama made everybody wear baby doll tees. That's America's Army now, is that Forever 21 is the major supplier for the military's uniforms.
Yeah, that's cool.
And now they're illegally selling them when, you know, our troops should be wearing those scoop neck and V-neck and plunging V shirts. The troops have to wear, you know,
well, they cut,
cubic
they,
zirconia necklaces.
They did... they have to wear whatever shirt Forever 21 like didn't sell enough of.
Right. Yeah, he's cutting money from the government. The best they can do is get these camisoles that were these irregular camisoles that Forever 21 had. That's what the troops are wearing to go into battle.
I can't. They really want to accuse like anybody who even they think everybody's trying to steal Valor.
Oh yeah.
People, like Brett and I and Felix are probably the only three people yeah. I can think of that think stealing Valor's funny.
Right, or get anything from it. All I get is good parking spots for the most part.
Yeah, we just think it's they get good parking spots, they get free meals at like Golden Corral. They like
there's some folks. I mean, there's some obtuse fellows out there that are dressing up in military uniforms. But you're right. I mean, all they do is get a haircut discount.
Yeah, yeah.
They go walk around a mall and have someone salute them while they're waiting, you know, for which some...
The real thing. That's what they're trying to get. That's what's a little weird. You know, every once in a while when I'm in public and they tell the veterans to stand up, I'll just stand up.
Yeah.
And the way people look at me...
Yeah, it's like...
Like I did it on the 4th of July one year and my wife was like,
good.
Man, everybody was just looking at you like they loved you.
Yeah, you're a pillar of society. I know. Look at you.
It's nice. It is. It's a good feeling.
You fought and served. You earned it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You earned that Heather Gray t-shirt. You earned that busted up t-shirt that Forever 21 sells.
Here's another comment. Stay classy, Forever 21. As a female Marine, I have to say this is ridiculous. It's like when I see people in our dress blue coats. It's all wrong. We as military individuals earn the right to wear those items of clothing. Wow.
More people? Like this is like people wearing your gear. This is like fans of the team. This is like when Metallica went after their own fans.
Listen.
What are you doing? These folks are doing propaganda for you.
They're
free. Free advertising.
They would rather them sign up for the military.
Yeah, like, why don't you serve? How about you serve? How about you get yourself a gun and go and serve?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, to make it even worse, the fashion law said that what the brand did.
I think it's true, actually, now.
What?
I think that you should have to have a military ID to buy that shirt from Forever 21.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, you have to earn it.
It's exclusive, and then you could get it off of them.
And then you wear it.
Like, there'd be a secondary market.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on the secondary market for them because I didn't serve.
Right.
Army. I can't believe how offended people in the Army get about this stuff.
I don't
it's
think
wild.
They're not. I mean, it's
oh
not.
Oh, my God. This they is, are
this
offended.
This is their relatives, man. This is their relatives and, like, forum people and like, it's
well, yeah,
people that it's Chicken Hawk folks that never served that just served on video games. Like, they're the ones that get outraged.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It is a third rail. It's like edgelords are like, don't you dare something say something about the Army.
A lot of troops think it's funny that people are like dressing up to get a free haircut or Denny's Grand Slam breakfast. The only folks that pay attention to it is like Morning Joe. It's like Fox News people. If you run a conservative Facebook page, you're in part of the Stolen Valor movement. But the troops that I fucking interact with couldn't care less if somebody is running around in a fake uniform.
We asked Francis like how he feels about the Army shirts.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to get me one. I want that baby doll tee. If that's the valor that they're all fighting for this. God damn it. The only reason that we put our lives on the fucking line is so that we get a Heather Gray t-shirt. Okay? And these folks just walk right in and put it on on credit. You know, they just put it on credit. The $6 t-shirt.
The
disgusting.
The military, there's people saying the military has a trademark on it. Ever the sophisticated business entity, the U.S. military holds an array of intellectual property rights, which range from copyright protections for its original camouflage prints to trademark rights and the specific names and logo. Damn.
Yeah, not everybody in the military is engaged in war. There are some people that the courtroom is their battlefield.
If we ever hit $10,000 on Patreon, I'm buying a military uniform.
I like that idea.
We're gonna start doing the show in a military uniform.
I'm about to serve.
We'll sit across from each other and we'll put on a military uniform and we'll buy some medals off of eBay and we'll just do street fight in uniforms. We'll steal valor while we're recording. Ten hut. We'll do a fourth show. If we get $10,000 a month, we'll do a fourth show where we talk about all the stuff we did in war.
Yep. We'll tell war stories.
We'll just
in a Forever 21 Army shirt with a full Army uniform on top.
Yeah. $10,000 a month, fourth show, all war stories. And us wearing uniforms while we record it. It's Street Fight Stolen Valor Edition is what it'll be. That's a good goal to look up
to. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. I mean, I don't know where the dust up was happening. I would love to see veterans like running into Forever 21 and like throwing all of it all over the floor. Or
just
something.
Throwing
like,
a
put
fit.
Your money where your mouth is. Yeah, throw a fit.
And throw it. That's what they 21. Have to be dragged out by a security. have to be dragged out by one arm into the mall from. Just get out. You can go to Auntie Anne's and cry. Just
please
laying
stop.
Across, throwing a tantrum at Auntie Anne's. Mean pretzels.
You don't want to go this far. We know it.
I don't think just because that person wrote about it, it was probably a big deal on their Facebook page.
That's the
you
issue,
know?
Man. I mean,
but you can get something pulled. You can just get some, like 15 very organized people can get something pulled from Forever 21 if they say it's unpatriotic.
Somebody shared recently that story that you that tweet you posted about how you had set up a liberal free, what was it, safe? Well,
it was like discriminating against liberals because they don't.
Hiring policy.
Yeah.
You discriminated. You wouldn't hire liberals because they lacked an understanding of logic and all of that.
Yeah.
And it became, news for some people.
Mad world news, dude.
Yeah, mad world news.
It was in Mad World News. Yeah, people, there are just people that hate, they think that there's a lot more like liberals than there actually are. There's probably like 47 actual liberals, sure. And then everybody else is just like all the people. Okay, so all the people that are Democrats, and then just like one row out, all the people they know are liberals, and then everybody else is probably more radical than that.
Yeah.
Probably further to the left. I mean, when you look at like things like if people want single payer health care, it's like 57%
it's a lot of people.
Does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like isolated incidents.
Yeah. So the other 43% are definitely not Democrats.
Yeah.
That's less than 50% we have to worry about all the time.
For sure.
Well, the other percent, too. Did you see this Senate bill, Brett? Actually, it was a law, a thing put on congressional record, and it's about not being allowed to profile motorcycle drivers.
No, what happened?
This is actually a good law. It sucks that I'm going to make jokes about
pro law
in a way, but it's like, whereas motorcycle ridership has continued to increase over time with registrations growing from 3,800,000, that's a lot, or yeah, you know,
it's good on gas. Motorcycles way better on gas. Jeez. Folks, 80 miles per gallon on a bike,
cooler too, they look
cooler. Way better, and like, it makes your hair look more windblown.
Not well, I don't have any hair. That doesn't affect me. Whereas as of August 2016, the ongoing National Motorcycle Profiling Survey conducted by the Motorcycle Profiling Project found that basically half of the motorcyclists surveyed felt that they had been profiled by law enforcement at least once. Black people can't get them to go in and admit. Like, can't get the government to be like, hey, stop profile. But motorcycle guys can. They can go in and say, don't profile me. I do. There are still a lot of people that think a motorcycle is crime. Like, they're doing crime.
Yeah, like you're like Henry Fonda and you have a whole bunch of coke hidden in the gas tank.
Yeah. Whereas motorcycle profiling means the illegal use of the fact that a person rides a motorcycle or wears motorcycle-related apparel as a factor in deciding to stop and question or take law enforcement actions. So
yeah, that's unfair.
Yeah.
Stop it. I feel like I'm with motorcyclists on this one.
I'm with
you, too. Just because I travel on two wheels doesn't mean I'm an outlaw.
Yeah. I think motorcyclists should be allowed to run red lights.
Okay. You're very progressive on
the
issue.
Well, I read that. We read that thing about red lights being. I think you should be able to drive motorcycles without a helmet and run all the red lights you want to. I think you should be able to drive between cars in
traffic.
No,
they should. No, I agree with that. No, they should. That's one of the cool things about having a two-wheeled vehicle is that you can drive between the cars.
So dangerous.
You can do a tweener.
Yeah, it's dangerous though. I mean, for the cars too. Mm. You're not just affecting yourself.
Not what I've seen.
Helmet laws. I'm not a big helmet law guy. I mean, Stephen BC is probably listening to this right now. Like, God damn it, people have to wear helmets.
One very calming thing to do is if you go on YouTube and you look for videos of intersections with no stoplights or like traffic direction. And the way that people do it, it's fucking amazing. It's just beautiful. It looks like biology. You know, it looks like cells moving.
Yeah.
Like, there's places in India that they don't have, like, traffic. There's a lot of good videos about it. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love
where
that.
People can do, because they put roundabouts in Columbus, and everybody I know flipped out.
I love them. I like roundabouts. Too. They're best.
But everybody's like, I don't fucking know how to drive in a roundabout. What the hell, man? What? I get nervous when I get in there. It's like, God, you'll get used to it. I promise. It's
don't
not
hit
like,
another person. That's all you have to do is not hit people.
Need these damn stop signs.
People
and these
are hitting
red
each other. People don't want to run into each other. No one wants to deal with that. And that's the same thing with red lights. They're just a suggestion. I feel like they should always be stoplights. Red lights should always be stoplights. It's fucked up that they can punish you so harshly just because you use your eyeballs to realize no one else is coming.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. And like that law that they made, though, that if you didn't think the traffic light was working, you can run it.
Yeah.
I did that the other night, by the way. I did that, the traffic light.
you were like,
felt like
I think it's malfunctioning.
I did. I had, and the person I had in a car with me was not like somebody that I normally have in the car. It's just, and I was just sitting there like, I think this light's not changing. What's going on with this light?
Yeah.
And I just got so anxious. And then finally, we're sitting there and no car has driven by in like forever. And I'm just like,
there's no activity happening.
I'm going. But the fact that I just sat there and waited so scary while there were no other cars on the road.
No, and some guy can come talk to you sternly and treat you like garbage and he wears a fucking gold badge. Like,
it's a penalty.
Well, what do you think about why'd you go ahead and drive through that there?
It's a penalty.
Nobody is awake right now.
It's just they throw up a flag. You shouldn't do it. If we let you do it, then we got to let everybody else do it.
I don't care if people run
red. You should
be lights.
Able to just, like, I think they try to make all these rules where, like, instead they can just be like, guys, drive carefully. Like, they're trying to get people to drive carefully.
They just want people, to be considerate of other folks on the road.
Yeah. Here's some rough estimates of what we want to happen on the road, right? Here's
but
a
I
list
think everybody
of
else is already interested in that.
I know.
And people don't want to get in accidents or cause problems.
Right. It's in their own self-interest to not get into a car accident. That's true. Nobody's trying to. So what I'm saying is when people start worrying, we can't have anarchy. We can't have anything like that. We got to have the state because motherfuckers need to know the rules on the road, which is technically true, but it's like we know roughly
no,
now.
They don't.
They're there. The rules are there now. They're fine. They're good. They're customs now. We don't need the rules
anymore.
People
can get by on the roads. I mean, they're unlicensed drivers get by completely fine on the roads.
Yeah.
Folks with unregistered tags get by on the roads just fine.
There's so many signs out there. Signs everywhere. There's signs.
Yeah.
But
don't do this, can't you? Yeah. That's classic.
Sign says the long-haired freaky people need not apply. We're long-haired freaky people.
I know
that's
where
what they're talking about.
60s,
that's what Tesla's talking about. I know it's a remake, but Tesla's who I'm going with.
Tesla made that?
I mean, Tesla covered it somebody else. Yeah, that's a cover, dude.
I didn't know. I've never heard the Tesla version.
What?
I didn't know they cover. I only know the OG one.
I've only heard the Tesla version.
I don't know it.
I like it.
We'll close it. We'll close that this episode with it.
But I just feel like there's a ton of signs. It's like, how did we even get by when there wasn't like every corner has like 35 signs on it?
No, that's what I'm saying is that there is no one wants to run into people. Like, I mean, it can get really tense maybe, but no one is going to run into you. No one is trying to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no reason to. Like, I like having a pause. I'm not like, I don't believe that's my right to plow through every intersection. But, you know, I don't feel like I should sit around for this bullshit if it's just a fucking light. It's a light bulb. It's a red light bulb. I have a human brain and I'm going up against a red light bulb.
Yeah.
And my processing power is way greater. And I'm the one sitting here in the middle of the fucking night looking at this blank roadway, and that red light bulb should not have any sort of precedence or authority over my fucking human brain.
You hear that, all you DSA people that listen to the show? Get that in the platform.
Yeah, yeah. And traffic anti-light bulb.
And 2000...
Anti-light bulb laws.
Yeah, by 2020, traffic laws will be phased out and become suggestions.
Customary. Yeah, just colloquial shit.
Yeah, just suggestions. This is the... Oh,
I haven't even seen anyone driving like an asshole in a very long time. I was actually thinking about this, that I haven't seen anything that warranted like someone stopping a person and being like, cool this shit.
Me neither. I don't see it very much at all. When it's happening, I'm going to tell you the truth. When somebody's hot rodding and stuff, they're probably good at hot rodding. That's why they do it. Like, yeah. Only very confident people hot rod their cars.
True. Very true.
Like the people that race, yes, they're unsafe, but they are. I've never done street races, but I assume they're responsible a little bit. You know what I mean?
You
seem like somebody that would have done street
races. Well, I've definitely done street races. Recently, there was a BJ's Wholesale Club that had a real sweet quarter mile right behind it that a lot of people would go and put money on the line.
Oh, my God. That you lived in the Fast and the Furious.
Well,
I
graduated when that shit was going on. Oh, everybody tuned up their damn car.
That's cool, though.
A whole lot of money on that.
That's cool. I used to love that. I think those are so romantic. I've never been to a race. I've never been to an illegal street race. I know that sounds crazy with my lifestyle before this, but... It just wasn't any. I had a friend that told me that he went to them, and every time I'd stay the night at his house, he'd be like, "We're gonna fucking sneak out and go to an illegal road race," and we would sneak out a lot of times and still steal the car. But he didn't know nothing about where the road races were.
I think it's over here.
He wasn't hip to it.
I'm hearing some squealing tires in that direction.
Yeah, we would just basically drive around all night.
Yeah, I there are the people that do it's like crime, man. Everybody wants to think that like crime is happening all the time in their area and that they are just living through it. Like on their way to work, they made it through like a gauntlet of, you know, crime. And it's just really boring and mundane and systematic the way that a lot of those things go down. And the same with the car shit, man. Everybody else is just safely driving a vehicle down the road. Much else going on.
I had a professor in college that used to every day say he's a libertarian. He wore a fedora. He
vaped.
He wore a trench coat into class. He had us watch South Park videos.
Oh my God.
And like defense and cartoon videos of defenses of capitalism in the class. And he used to come in all the time and just be like, you know, you can be pulled over for strict adherence to the law. They'll say it looks suspicious. It's legal to do that. Courts have found it.
That's some forbidden knowledge. Yeah, man. The fucked up thing is if you stick to the law too much, they'll throw you in jail for that.
Always drive 5 miles over.
Yeah.
Flick a cigarette butt out the window every once in a while.
Act like a regular person.
Yeah.
Not like somebody that's guilty.
Because if you drove the way the cops want you to drive, you have to be a robot when you get in a car. Like, you sit up straight.
Like, what is this person doing? 10 and 2. That shit looks uncomfortable as hell on their shoulders. They're wearing their shoulder like earrings right now.
Remember the pressure of your driver's test? How that felt?
Oh, yeah.
That's how they want you to always feel when you're driving a car.
That's what most people think is the standard way of driving.
Yeah. The government, if that is their suggestion. So, like, the government has you go and get this license, and they put you through a high pressure situation to get the license. And they would love it if they could extend that high pressure. Like, that's their ideal situation. Because then it's like everybody's safe if they're all terrified to do anything.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it doesn't even have to be like intentional. The matter of driving at those speeds, you know. When you're going that fast, it's like, I don't want to get near anybody else, you know.
I want to drive 80. I mean, sometimes I feel like 80's not a huge big deal.
It isn't.
You know? When there's nobody on the fucking freeway.
This is like all the other shit that they do in other countries, man. In other places, they drive 100 and it's fine.
Okay.
Let me drive 100.
Yeah. Let's let people drive 100.
Right.
I don't care how fast they fucking drive. I saw a guy driving down the street the other day in a Maserati.
Nice.
And I was like, I mean, he isn't able to like really drive that though.
Sure, sure. He's just opening it up.
He's just vroom, 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 vroom.
Yeah.
Vroom, vroom. Like I see guys in Lamborghinis and stuff driving around town, and I'm just like, the only a person that could afford a Lamborghini would go downtown with the Lamborghini. Like if you could get a Lamborghini, or I could get a Lamborghini, I'd be like, let's get to the country roads.
Let's go to the desert.
Let's get far out of town and drive this thing really fast.
I want to see if I can make it fly. I want to put wings on the side and make it fly. Like one of those speed boats.
Every person I knew was like I had this friend. I have this friend. He's still he races on motorcycles. He drag races on motorcycles like professionally now. And he used to like, if he got his parents' car, the first thing he did was drive a half hour out of town and just fucking haul ass on the country roads. And it was so fun, man.
Yeah.
And like, nobody was getting hurt from it. It didn't hurt nobody.
No, no.
Just hot rodding. No, it's called hot rodding is what we used to call it when I was a young man. Hot rodding.
Cars can go that fast.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd rather us be driving golf carts.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for.
Actually, that's probably better for the environment, so we should be driving golf carts.
I think it makes sense.
If you live in the city, you should have to have a golf cart.
Okay. I mean, that's
the government issue. The government says, look, you don't buy a car,
there's golf carts sitting around, you can use them.
Yes.
Don't tear them up, please. Yeah.
Then you don't even have to have a car. That's like something nobody thought. They always think like, let's get the other kinds of mass transit where you got to build tunnels and stuff like that. But we could also just make a bunch of golf carts and leave them around town too.
Just tie them up with a bike chain overnight so nobody takes them. But just have it like a public, like a car to go thing.
Yeah. But just get so many that it's pointless to steal them. You know?
Yes, like bicycles in Amsterdam.
It's pointless to steal one because they're all over the damn place.
You can just
grab
one.
Yeah.
And that's great. I mean, the accident rate would go down.
I mean,
I would like that.
Yeah, I don't mind. You could even open them up a little bit. You get one that goes 30.
Yeah, yeah.
35, you know?
Yeah, get tune it up.
I mean, I basically live within 5 miles of my house. Everything I do is within five miles of my house in this city because it's a small city.
Right.
Yeah, I don't need a car. I need a golf. I can use a golf cart. It's just for, like, I'll just drive to my places on my golf cart. You don't have to dig a hole in the ground and build a tunnel and a subway or like light rail or anything like that. I know those are probably preferable, but I like this golf cart idea. I'm going to go with it.
I want some breeze in my face.
Yeah. All right, man.
I like it. Thank you for tuning in.
We were going to end early tonight, by the way. Like I started to wind us down at 48 minutes and now we're at 1 hour and 17 minutes.
All right. Extra.
But I feel like what we did after that was worth it.
Sure.
To stay on.
Yeah. And thank you for keep tuning in for us staying
thank
on.
Thank you for keep tuning in.
Yeah. I'm a caveman. Sorry. I'm out of it. I'm like three sheets to the wind. If you want to keep supporting us, and if you're just listening at this point, because there is like thousands and thousands of people now that listen to the show, tens of thousands of people that listen to the show, but not as many that step up to the plate and give money to the show. So if you want to see Brian and I have the budget and the opportunity to create and do more fun, entertaining things for you, head over to patreon.com/streetfightradio, patreon.com/streetfightradio. You can sign up to get Kratom or a zine or live videos, whatever it may be. We've kept our promise. I mean, this has been the thing that we do now. Every single month, you get a live show from us. top-notch stand-up comedy, cutting-edge shit that, I mean, you're not finding anywhere else. It's going to be in the history book someday, and you're going to be a lot cooler for knowing about it at this point. Just wait until we're the Kevin James of fucking syndicated TV.
Review us on iTunes, by
that
the
helps.
Way. Five-star us over there. Give us a bit.
Our next goal. It is. It's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, donate to the Patreon, obviously.
Right.
But I'm saying, like, if you find it in your heart and have time to give us a review on iTunes, like, we're right about where, like, we could chart fairly easy. Like, we have a lot of reviews, and we just need probably a few more. And
if a bunch of people swooped in right now. We have a lot of new subscribers since 2017 has kicked off. We've had a lot of people come in, and if you threw some reviews that in there, I think that we would get like a new and noteworthy, which would put us on our way towards spreading our message to more people and dismantling this global capitalistic
and
bullshit.
And if we got in a new and noteworthy, I would be able to tweet all day about how we've been doing it for 6 years.
Sure.
But new, we're not new. We've been around for 6 years, man.
So help us out any way you can. We're going to keep doing this no matter what you do. It's a lifelong project, and we plan to hand it off to our kids. So don't think we're going anywhere else but right into your earbuds. We'll be back later this week with Street Fight. Peace.